content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the February edition of Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from ScienceDaily.com, CleanEatingMagazine.com, Food Network Magazine, and if we have time, Taste of Home Magazine. So, starting off, I've got a recipe for you, since we're headed to the Super Bowl, for slow-cooked mesquite ribs. When we're missing the grill during winter, these tangy ribs give us that same smoky barbecue taste we love. They're so simple and fall-off-the-bone delicious, too. All right, you're going to need, for 8 servings, 1 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 4 pounds of pork baby back ribs cut into serving size portions, 2 tablespoons of mesquite seasoning, and a half a cup of barbecue sauce. Number 1, in a 6-quart slow cooker, mix the water, vinegar, and soy sauce. Rub the ribs with mesquite seasoning and place in the slow cooker. Number 2, cook covered on low 6 to 8 hours or until tender. Remove ribs to a platter, brush with barbecue sauce, and return to the slow cooker. Cook covered on low until ribs are glazed about 30 minutes. And that is it. Couldn't be any more simple. We're also headed for Valentine's Day this month, and I've got another recipe for you, chocolate heart cookies, and these are also very easy. Now, because every microwave behaves differently, keep a watchful eye when you're melting the vanilla and chocolate chips. Okay. For a dramatic presentation, I dust dessert plates with cocoa powder and place a couple of these melt-in-your-mouth cookies in the center, along with some fresh raspberries, lemon zest, and a sprig of mint. And that's from the Taste of Home magazine, the February-March edition. So, you will need 1 cup of butter softened, a half cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of baking cocoa, 1 cup of vanilla or white chips, 2 tablespoons of shortening divided, and 1/2 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chips. All right, in a large bowl, cream the butter and sugar until light and fluffy, 5 to 7 minutes. Beat in the vanilla. Combine flour and cocoa. Gradually add to creamed mixture and mix well. On a lightly floured surface, roll out dough to 1/4 inch thickness. Cut with a 3-inch heart-shaped cookie cutter. Place 2 inches apart on ungreased baking sheets. Bake at 375 for 8 to 10 minutes or until firm. Remove to wire racks to cool completely. In a microwave, melt vanilla chips and 1 tablespoon of shortening at 70% power for 1 minute. Stir. Microwave in additional 10 to 20 second intervals, stirring until smooth. Dip both sides of the cookies into the melted mixture and allow the excess to drip off. Place on wax paper and let them stand until they're set. In a microwave, melt the chocolate chips and remaining 1 tablespoon of shortening. Stir until smooth and drizzle over the cookies and place on wire racks to dry. And I hope those turn out as delicious as they look for your Valentine. Next up, I have an article for you from Science Daily, and the source is North Carolina State University, so I thought that was close to home for us. Study urges people to think twice before going on a diet. A new qualitative study from North Carolina State University highlights the negative interpersonal and psychological consequences associated with yo-yo dieting, also known as weight cycling. The work underscores how toxic yo-yo dieting can be and how difficult it can be for people to break the cycle. Yo-yo dieting, unintentionally gaining weight and dieting to lose weight only to gain it back and restart the cycle, is a prevalent part of American culture, with fad diets and lose weight quick plans or drugs normalized as people pursue beauty ideals, says Lindsay Romo, corresponding author of a paper on the study and associate professor of communication at North Carolina State University. Based on what we learned through this study, as well as the existing research, we recommend that most people avoid dieting unless it is medically necessary. Our study also offers insights into how people can combat insidious aspects of weight cycling and challenge the cycle. For the study, researchers conducted in-depth interviews with 36 adults, 13 men and 23 women, who had experienced weight cycling where they lost and regained more than 11 pounds. The goal was to learn more about why and how people entered the yo-yo dieting cycle and how, if at all, they were able to get out of it. All the study participants reported wanting to lose weight due to social stigma rather related to their weight and/or because they were comparing their weight to that of celebrities or peers. Overwhelmingly, participants did not start dieting for health reasons, but because they felt social pressure to lose weight, Romo says. The study participants also reported engaging in a variety of weight loss strategies, which resulted in initial weight loss but eventual regain. Regaining the weight led people to feel shame and further internalize stigma associated with weight, leaving study participants feeling worse about themselves than they did before they began dieting. This, in turn, often led people to engage in increasingly extreme behaviors to try to lose weight again. For instance, many participants engaged in disordered weight management behaviors, such as binge or emotional eating, restricting food and calories, memorizing calorie counts, being stressed about what they were eating, and the number on the scale, falling back on quick fixes, such as low-carb diets or diet drugs, over-exercising, and avoiding social events with food to drop pounds fast, says Romo. Inevitably, these diet behaviors became unsustainable, and participants regained weight, often more than they had initially lost. Almost all of the study participants became obsessed with their weight, says Caitlin Mueller, co-author of the study and graduate student at NC State. Weight loss became a focal point for their lives, to the point that it distracted them from spending time with friends, family, and colleagues, and reducing weight gain temptations such as drinking and overeating. Participants referred to the experience as an addiction or a vicious cycle, Romo says. Participants who were more successful at challenging the cycle were also able to embrace healthy eating behaviors, such as eating a varied diet and eating when they were hungry, rather than treating eating as something that needs to be closely monitored, controlled, or punished. However, the researchers found the vast majority of study participants stuck in the cycle. The combination of ingrained thought patterns, societal expectations, toxic diet culture, and pervasive weight stigma make it difficult for people to completely exit the cycle, even when they really want to, Romo says. Ultimately, this study tells us that weight cycling is a negative practice that can cause people real harm, Romo says. Our findings suggest that it can be damaging for people to begin dieting unless it is medically necessary. Dieting to meet some perceived societal standard inadvertently set participants up for years of shame, body dysfunction, unhappiness, stress, social comparisons, and weight-related preoccupation. Once a diet has begun, it is very difficult for many people to avoid a lifelong struggle with their weight. And again, that is from Science Daily, and it's a study done at North Carolina State University, right down the street. Moving on, I've got small yet mighty. Don't let their size fool you. Chia seeds may be tiny, but their health benefits are enormous. Abundance of acids. A little known fact about chia seeds, C-H-I-A, that's chia, is that they are a plant-based complete protein, which means they contain all 9 of the essential amino acids that can't be produced by the body and must come from diet. They're also a rich source of omega-3 fatty acids, which can reduce or decrease cholesterol, blood pressure, and inflammation. Better bones. Chia seeds are naturally chock full of vitamins and nutrients. They also contain particularly high amounts of magnesium, phosphorus, and calcium, which are vital for overall bone health and maintaining bone mineral density. In fact, 3 tablespoons of chia seeds contain more calcium than a glass of milk, or about 18% of your daily value. Wow. Good for gut health. Along with being a great source of fiber, each 1-ounce serving contains 10 grams, chia seeds boost vitamin and mineral absorption in the stomach. They can even act as a prebiotic and aid your stomach in the production of quote-unquote good gut bacteria, which in turn keeps your digestive system working properly. So go ahead and eat up. And they've got a recipe here for you to use your chia seeds. It's called Easy Almond Joy Chia Pudding. Mix 1 cup of refrigerated unsweetened coconut milk, 4 tablespoons of chia seeds, and 3 tablespoons of maple syrup. Remove half the mixture to a small bowl. Stir in 2 tablespoons of baking cocoa until blended. Refrigerate both plain and chocolate mixtures covered until thickened at least 6 hours. In each of 2 dessert dishes, layer 1/4 of the white pudding, 1/4 of the chocolate pudding, 1/4 cup of dairy-free semi-sweet chocolate chips, and 1/4 cup of slivered almonds. Then repeat those layers. Serve immediately or store in the refrigerator up to 3 days. Makes 2 servings. All right, Super Bowl is coming. Just Wing It is what I have for you from the Taste of Home magazine. Perfect for game watching. This board, and they have a board here on the picture, features the ever-popular chicken wings, an array of dipping sauces to go with them. And so here's some information about serving chicken wings for your Super Bowl festivities. Start with dry wings. Tossing the chicken with salt and chilling overnight helps dry the wings out, resulting in crispy skin when fried. Oh, didn't know that. Add easy dips. In addition to the sauces that accompany the wings recipe, serve the wings with bottled cilantro lime salad dressing and this blue cheese dip. Okay, here we go. In a blender, combine 1/2 cup of milk, 1 8-ounce package of softened cream cheese, 1 cup or 4 ounces of crumbled blue cheese, and 2 peeled garlic cloves. Okay, put all that in a blender and combine it. Cover and process until blended. Top with additional crumbled blue cheese if desired. And choose tasty add-ons. Round out the board with other munchies like onion rings and assorted fresh veggie dippers. And what they've got here are carrot sticks and cucumber slices and red pepper slices and radish slices and crispy onion rings. And don't forget a bowl or two of your favorite snack mix. You got all that and you are ready for your Super Bowl party. All right, next we're going to talk about another Valentine recipe, and it is red velvet cake. And I have some helpful hints for you to make this cake, as after I give you the recipe, we'll go over those. So, you'll need a half a cup of softened butter, 1.5 cups of sugar, 2 large eggs that are at room temperature, 2 bottles of 1 ounce each, 2 1-ounce bottles of red food coloring, 1 tablespoon of white vinegar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2.25 cups of cake flour, 2 tablespoons of baking cocoa, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of buttermilk. All right, now for the frosting, you'll need 1/2 cup of cold water, 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 2 cups of softened butter, two teaspoons of vanilla extract, and 3.5 cups of confectioner's sugar. All right, first off, preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Cream the butter and sugar until light and fluffy, about 5 to 7 minutes. Add eggs 1 at a time, beating well after each addition. Beat in the food coloring, vinegar, and vanilla. In another bowl, whisk together your flour, cocoa, baking soda, and salt. Add all of that to the cream mixture alternately with the buttermilk, beating well after each addition. Pour into 2 greased and floured 9-inch round cake pans. Bake until a toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean, 20 to 25 minutes. Cool your layers for 10 minutes before removing from pans to wire racks to cool completely. Trim 1/4 inch off the top of each cake layer. Crumble those trimmings onto a baking sheet. All right, and let those crumbs stand at room temperature while you make your frosting. For the frosting, combine water and cornstarch in a small saucepan over medium heat. Stir until thickened and opaque, 2 to 3 minutes. Cool to room temperature. Beat butter and vanilla until light and fluffy. Beat in the cornstarch mixture. Gradually add confectioner's sugar. Beat until light and fluffy. Spread between layers and over top and sides of cake. Press the reserved cake crumbs into the side of the cake. That gives it a little decoration. All right, now she's got some tips here. Make sure you add your eggs 1 at a time. If you add the eggs all at once, the butter mixture won't absorb them all and won't create an emulsion. This could result in a tough, dry cake. All right, when you stir in the food coloring and vinegar, the vinegar reacts with the baking soda and acts as a leavening agent to help the batter rise and create the cake's light and airy texture. Add the dry ingredients to the creamed mixture alternately with the buttermilk. Be sure to beat well after each addition. That will make sure it gets stirred up really good. And when you cook water and cornstarch in make the ermine frosting. Cook water and cornstarch in a small saucepan over medium heat. Stir until thick and opaque and let those cool completely before combining with the other ingredients. and frost the cake using an offset spatula. Frost the top of the first cake layer, then top with the second cake layer and frost the top of that, then frost the sides of the entire cake. So I hope you get that also for your Valentine, or maybe someone will make it for you. All right, I have an article for you from Clean Eating Magazine, and I'm not sure if I will get to all of it before we run out of time, but I surely will give it a go. Winter is a hearty wonderland when you're wandering around feeling woozy from a cold or debating whether to get a flu shot. Have sniffles replaced snowflakes as the emblem of winter? Mother Nature doesn't need to be so cruel. Research points to several different methods for maintaining your overall health during the winter months without having to get poked by a needle or having to open your pocketbook for more temporary cold and flu relief. From adding honey to your teacup to sprinkling berries on your cereal, here are some ways, backed by recently published studies, to boost your immunity by eating clean and to elevate your mood so that you can go play with Jack Frost. Number one, a touch of honey. B-E-E, healthy and happy. Perhaps Winnie the Pooh was onto something. Honey may be the healthiest way to soothe a nighttime cough, according to a study from researchers in Israel. While the team of pediatricians focused on upper respiratory infections in 300 children aged 1 to 5, study author Herman Avner Cohen, MD, said that honey can be considered a safe and effective alternative to cough syrup for those over age 1. So unless you're worried about calorie consumption, honey contains about 22 calories per teaspoon, there's no reason not to try a teaspoon or two. The effective dosage in the pediatrics study as part of eating clean and staying healthy. Next up, go cocoa nuts. Cold weather can raise blood pressure since lower temperatures cause blood vessels to constrict. And higher blood pressure could increase your chances of suffering a heart attack or stroke while, say, you're shoveling the sidewalk. But according to a recent study, heading indoors to warm up with a mug of hot cocoa may be just what the doctor ordered. Australian researchers studied 10 years worth of data from 20 studies to discover that those who consumed chocolate rich in flavanols once a day for several weeks experienced a slight drop in blood pressure of about 2 to 3 points. Since the scientists were examining a range of studies, they were unable to recommend a specific amount, but encouraged moderate consumption of flavanol-rich cocoa products. Per day, the participants who experienced a drop in blood pressure consumed between 3 and 100 grams of dark chocolate or cocoa containing between 300 and 1,080 milligrams of flavanols. So warm up that hot cocoa. The acai advantage. Acai, the purple berry found in Brazil and other southern climates, may be one of the best at fighting the oxidative stress that can come from a winter-impaired immune system. In a recent issue of Experimental Gerontology, Emory University researchers used fruit flies to show how acai, that's spelled A-C-A-I, beats such supplements as vitamins, coenzyme Q10, and lutein in maintaining a better quality of life and extending lifespan. Wow, so that sounds like a good idea. Number 4 out of 5, learn to share. Farm fresh food, that is. A study reveals that you'll probably eat more antioxidant-rich vegetables when you're offered a variety of them. When 66 healthy adults were served a meal that included broccoli, carrots, and snap peas, they ate more veggies overall than those presented with just one type, reveals the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. By joining a community-supported agriculture CSA, Farm Share Program, you'll reap the healthy harvest of a myriad of vegetables, even in winter. Find one near you through localharvest.org. That's L-O-C-A-L, harvest.org. Number 5, edible sunshine. Although the long, cold days of winter can hurt mental health, you don't necessarily need a trip to the tropics to reset your happiness clock. Help may be right around the corner in your kitchen, according to research presented at the August 2012 meeting of the American Chemical Society. Scientists found that chemicals in blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries, among other foods, mimic the effects of valproic, that's V-A-L-P-R-O-I-C, acid, a drug prescribed for those suffering from manic depressive mood disorders. If you can't find fresh berries at your local market, frozen ones will do just fine. And finally, just breathe. The power of meditation goes beyond peace of mind. You already know that exercise and meditation are good for your overall health. However, research reveals that the 1-2 punch of these types of lifestyle choices can knock out the common cold. When Wisconsin doctors studied 149 adults, mostly white women around age 60, they found that those who exercised in a group for 2.5 hours each week and at home for 45 minutes daily, and those who meditated regularly in a 2.5 hour weekly group session and at home for 45 minutes daily, were less likely to contract acute upper respiratory infections than the control group that did neither. The healthy group's jobs were also less likely to suffer from illness. The exercisers missed just 16 days of work, while the meditators missed 32, compared to 67 missed days in the control group. So instead of stocking up on cold medication for the winter, you may be better off with a new pair of sneakers or a comfortable cushion for meditating. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the February edition of Flavor at the North Carolina Reading Service.